بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We are reading from the kitab إصلاح العقائد, correction of beliefs, and presently we are discussing concerning kufr, what is the meaning of kufr, and all those things which constitute kufr, which we should be very careful about. We did 31 examples of that already, and we continue with the discussion of kufr. Kufr is of four types. Kufr jahl, Islam, which means Islam and its teachings are denied because of ignorance. So this is the first type of kufr, where the teachings of Islam and Islam itself are denied because of ignorance. This was the type of kufr of Abu Jahl. The second type is kufr juhul, that is deliberate kufr due to obstinacy. This is the type of kufr of shaitan. Not that he had ignorance, he knew the truth, but yet he denied. So this was the type of kufr of shaitan, as well as that of many Jews and Christians. The third type of kufr is kufr shak, that kufr which is occasioned by doubt. The denier doubts the truthfulness of Islam. And the fourth type of kufr is called kufr ta'wil. A belief or teaching of Islam is distorted or given a meaning other than that explained by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the fourth type, kufr ta'wil. A few examples are, for example, the miracles of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam are given figurative meanings. So this is all types of kufr ta'wil. Another example is of Mi'raj. Mi'raj is interpreted to be a spiritual condition, whereas it is our aqidah that Mi'raj took place in a physical state while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awake. The third example, Jannat and Jahannam are said to be spiritual states. Another example, the finality of Nubuwah is rejected by way of interpretation. Another example, metaphoric meanings are attributed to the angels and jinn. Or punishment of the grave is denied by interpretation. Or the claims that wuzu was introduced for rural Arabs and it is not necessary for clean people, so-called clean people, to be with wudu when performing salat. And the last example given here is different meanings are attended for salat, zakat, jihad, etc., which are not the meaning understood by the ummah for the past 1400 years. Note, a person will not become a non-believer if he unintentionally utters words of kufr. Another note, it is a major sin to curse someone or address him as O kafir, O disbeliever. It is, however, permissible to make a general statement. For example, may the oppressors be cursed, or may the liars be cursed. There is no sin to refer to those individuals who have been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whose disbelief they have informed us of, as O accursed one or O kafir. So for those people to tell them that they are kafirs, make that statement, there's nothing wrong. Next topic we are doing, istihza and istighfaf. These are two technical terms which are being explained here. Istihza means to jest or mock any teaching, belief, concept or advice of Islam. That will be called istihza. Istighfaf, the other word istighfaf, or istihana. That is both technical terms, both mean the same. That means to regard lightly or insignificant any affair, teaching or belief of the Sharia. In the famous book of beliefs, Sharhul Aqaid, the following is mentioned, that istihana is kufr, it is disbelief, and istihza of the Sharia is also kufr, because these are signs of rejection of Islam. It is similarly kufr if a person laughs with pleasure at a statement of kufr made by another person. We should be very careful in this regard. Some people make jokes and they are actually now words of kufr, and those that now take enjoyment from there and laugh at that, that could also now put a person into kufr. Every teaching, belief, and attitude of Islam is linked with Allah Ta'ala. Hence the beliefs, practices, teachings, places, ethics, and personalities of Islam are all objects of honor and respect. The slightest amount of disrespect is intolerable. Some people mock and jest with the beard, the miswak, the sunnah method of eating and dressing. Some will find fault in taqdeer. Some will brand Islamic ways as outdated and incompatible with the times. Some make a mockery of the ahadith and the authoritative tafsir, explanations of the Quran and Majid. By doing so, one destroys his iman. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, we heard the recitation of the 23rd para, which was the continuation of Surah Yasin, followed by Surah Al-Safat, and then by Surah Sa'd, and then by Surah Al-Zumar, a portion of it was recited. Yesterday, we were busy with the 22nd para. We finished Surah Al-Ahzab, and thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of Surah Sabah. Surah Sabah, and also the Surah after it, and all the other remaining Surahs in the 23rd para, are all Makki Surahs, and this has been mentioned over and over again, that the subject matter which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions in all these Surahs concern the fundamentals of deen, that is, concerning the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the aqeedah of Risalat of the Anbiya Alayhim Salaam, and also of Qiyamah and Resurrection and Akhirat. So in different ways, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in these Surahs, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions and expounds these fundamentals, and also the statement of the enemies of Islam, the kuffar and the mushrikeen, with regards to these aqaid, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala refutes all their wrong beliefs and confirms and emphasizes the fundamentals of deen by mentioning his great qudrat in his great knowledge with regards to all his creations. In the beginning of Surah Sabah, the same is mentioned, and particularly Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of his all-encompassing knowledge, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is aware of everything in this world to the minutest detail. Allah Ta'ala says that it is in Allah's knowledge what enters the earth in the form of the rain, and what comes out of the earth in the form of the vegetation, and what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and what descends from the skies in the form of revelation, and what ascends to the skies and into the skies, that is the actions of man. Actions of man are presented in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah says, we are well aware of all that. These people who now deny the Qiyamah, and they can't understand how will Qiyamah occur, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, Allah says that tell the people, Bala wa Rabbi, take the qasam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and tell them that Qiyamah will definitely occur. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the knower of the unseen. Not the smallest particle or atom or atom's weight is concealed from the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of all that in the first ruku, and thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then mentions these people who say that when we have now died and decomposed, and our bones have completely now broken up into pieces, how is it that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will recreate us into a new creation and recreate us? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that nothing is difficult upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala created you in the first place, what's difficult for Allah Ta'ala to recreate you? Another main subject matter in the surah is that these mushrikeen, they held the belief that the angels, they will intercede, they are the daughters of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, na'udhu billah, and also that they will intercede for people, and similarly certain people whom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had accorded great status and powers, they will also intercede. Well, with regard to that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala refutes all these things. Amongst them is Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had blessed Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam, who are father and son, with besides Nabuwat, Allah Ta'ala granted them immense kingdom and great powers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them. But that does not make them such that they can influence or change the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in with regard to anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how Allah Ta'ala had blessed Dawood alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala says, we granted him great fadilat and significance, in the sense that even he, Allah Ta'ala granted him a very beautiful voice, and also such that when he used to recite the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the mountains and the birds, they all used to join Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam in humming the glory and praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, we made iron also soft for him, and we told Dawood alayhi salam that make coats of armor with this iron, and also perfect and perfectly align the links to the armor. In other words, when you make the armor, also make them properly, because armor is actually at the time of warfare, and those days they used to wear it to protect themselves at the time of warfare. But the links joining the different portions of the armor, make them also perfectly correct and align them correctly. Which shows that doesn't mean when we now do the things of the world, we should just do it haphazardly. We should do it properly. And if armor is not made in a proper way, then the benefit of it at the time of warfare will not be realized. So Allah Ta'ala also tells Dawood alayhi salam to do that. At the same time, wa'amalu saliha. And Dawood alayhi salam and all those with him are told that do the good actions. In other words, that's your main objective, to do to do good actions. But this also we have blessed you with, that iron has been made soft for you, just like how wax is now soft, and a person can now mold it as he pleases. Concerning Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala says, we made the winds also subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam. It was his mode of transport, and Allah Ta'ala says, just the morning travel was equivalent in distance to a month travel, and an evening travel also was equivalent to how a person can travel in a month. So this was the mode of transport for Sulaiman alayhi salam, the winds. What is today's aircraft and Boeings and whatever we can call them, nothing can compare to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam with. Further, Allah Ta'ala says, we had made springs of copper to flow for Sulaiman alayhi salam. Copper is a solid metal, and it has to be now first of all dug out from the earth and smelted, and then only a person can now use it. But Allah Ta'ala made it now like water and flowing for Sulaiman alayhi salam to make with whatever he wanted to with it. And also Allah Ta'ala granted him kingdom over the jinnat also. And the jinnat were made subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And Sulaiman alayhi salam used to use these jinnat to do and make such things which normally requires great effort and labor. And the jinnat were used for this purpose. Jinnat being rebellious in nature, but Sulaiman alayhi salam authority over them was such that they had to do whatever they were told to do. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam used to make them construct huge buildings, structures, sculptures, and also utensils and dishes of very large proportions, which could not be even moved from their positions. Allah Ta'ala made the jinnat subservient to Dawood alayhi salam, and he used to take the work of all this from there. Allah Ta'ala tells Dawood alayhi salam and the family of Dawood alayhi salam, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because very few of my bandas are really grateful for the bounties which Allah Ta'ala had blessed people with. Then the incident that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah Ta'ala had decreed that mort and death must overtake him. At that time, he was being watchful over the jinnat, that they are doing the work whatever they have been now assigned to do. And Allah Ta'ala gave Sulaiman alayhi salam death in a condition that he was reclining on his staff, his stick, and keeping a watch. And in that condition, Allah Ta'ala now took his life away. But that posture was maintained, and so that the jinnat from a distance, they couldn't come even close to see whether Sulaiman alayhi salam is actually living or dead. And They continued with their work, which Allah Ta'ala also wanted them to complete. Sulaiman alayhi salam had assigned it to them. It is only when the termites, they then ate that staff of Sulaiman alayhi salam, they made it hollow by eating on it, and with the result that broke, and then Sulaiman alayhi salam fell. At that time only the jinnat realized that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away. And then they realized that if they had knowledge of the unseen, they would not have continued with this hard labor, which they had been now assigned to do. And they would not have continued. But Sulaiman alayhi salam's wish, and Allah Ta'ala wanted them to complete whatever they had now did, before they realized Sulaiman alayhi salam had passed away. So this incident has been mentioned here. Also, the mushrikeen used to regard the jinnat to be of supernatural powers they had, and therefore they also had could have had a hand in influencing the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says they don't know anything of the unseen. The jinnat, they have been given such powers which now normal human beings don't have. But that doesn't make them in a position to now change or influence the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Then the incident of the nation of Saba is mentioned here, for which the surah has been called Surah to Saba. Saba is actually a place in Yemen, in current day Yemen, and that is where this nation resided, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed with innumerable bounties. They had very flourishing and lush gardens and orchards on every side of their locality, on the right hand side, on the left hand side, and they were told, reminded over and over, that eat from what Allah Ta'ala has provided for you, but be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Express your appreciation and accept the message of Haqq, as the many Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam are conveying to you. The Mufassirin explained that up to 13 Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam over a period of time had come to this nation, but they did not accept the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says that when they turned away from the message of Haqq and they refused to acknowledge the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over them by turning to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala destroyed and ruptured the wall, the dam wall, that dam through which all the fields and orchards and plantations used to be irrigated, and they were completely destroyed with the flood waters which ensued on the destruction of the wall of the dam. Allah Ta'ala says this was our punishment for them because of their ingratitude and because of their staying on kufr. And this is how we now deal with those who reject the message of Haqq and who are ungrateful for the bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with. So in the mention of this incident and the like type of incidents, there is actually a message that those who refuse to accept the message of Haqq, despite being reminded by the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, this will be the fate which will await them, that Allah Ta'ala will destroy them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ, that nobody's intercession will be of any avail and benefit by Allah Ta'ala, but for that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to intercede, his intercession will be of benefit, nobody else, not the jinnat, not the angels, not any selected persons, whatever. Only if Allah ta'ala gives permission, then their intercession will be of benefit for those whom they intercede for. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of some scenes of the day of Qiyamah, and how people who are destined now to go into Jahannam because of their kufr, they will now try to shift blame from one onto another. Those who are now ustud'ifu, those who are regarded to be the weaker portions of society, those who are the followers. And on the other hand, alladhina istakbaru, those who are the proud ones, who are now regarded to be the leaders. The weaker ones will try to shift blame that their remaining on kufr was because of the influence of their leaders, and they did not allow them to accept this iman. But those who are regarded to be now the influential type of people, they will respond by saying, Did we stop you from hidayat when it came to you? In other words, we did not force you to come into kufr. We did not force you not to accept the haqq. Instead, you are the kuntum mujrimeen. You are the one who are the criminals and the sinners yourselves. Don't try and blame us. And Allah Ta'ala says, then when all of them will see the punishment which will await them, asarrun nadamata, quietly and secretly within themselves, they will conceal their great regret and grief and remorse why they did not accept the message of haqq when it came to them. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we never destroyed any nation unless we send a warner to them. And whenever we send a warner to a nation to remind them of the truth, it was normally the affluent people of that community which now were the first to reject the message of haqq. Inna bima ursiltum bihi kafirun. That they used to tell the anbiya who used to be sent to them, that we reject the message with which you are coming to us with. And why? Nahnu aktharu amwalan wa awlada. We are more than you when it comes to, we are much better and more in you than you when it comes to wealth and children, and we will not be punished. They regarded their being affluent with so much wealth and progeny and children that they regarded it to be a sign of acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas increase in wealth and status and children is not a sign that Allah Ta'ala accepts, that person is acceptable in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala on that further on mentions that we expand the sustenance for whomsoever we wish, and we constrict and diminish the sustenance for whomsoever we wish. This got nothing to do with being accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala or not. Further on, Allah Ta'ala again emphasized the same point, that your wealth and your children are not such that can cause you to gain proximity to us unless the person has iman and does righteous deeds. That only is the criterion for getting closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acceptance in the court of Allah ta'ala. So that point Allah ta'ala also emphasizes here. Further on, towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala then mentions, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that what you label me as insane, that I am not in my right senses. Then let me give you one piece of advice that Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is that reflect and ponder, either in groups of two or more, or either individually. Think properly. You know every minutest detail of my life from the time I was born amongst you in Makkatul Mukarrama, and you know exactly all the details of my life. And then I am now, till I was granted Nabuwat, you even called me the most truthful and the most trustworthy. And suddenly after being granted Nabuwat and presenting the verses of the Quran and Majid to you, which you cannot match in any way whatsoever, and suddenly on that basis you are calling me insane? How can that be possible? Think for yourself that what you are saying, those who are making such claims, really they are now not in the correct frame of mind. How can you say I am now not in my correct frame of mind? Allah tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, I am just a warner to you, for that severe punishment which awaits you from Allah Ta'ala, if you now do not heed the message of haqq. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, these very people who denied the truth in the dunya, they will now desire that, and they will at that time proclaim their bringing iman. Allah ta'ala says, "Anna lahum tanawushu min makanin ba'id." From such a far distant place, where can that iman ever reach them and ever be of avail to them? The far distant place, referring to the akhirat compared to the dunya, the place of iman and bringing, accepting iman which can be acceptable by Allah Ta'ala is this dunya, not the year after when everything of the unseen will become the seen. That is not iman. A person who professes iman in the year after, that can never be accepted. Allah Ta'ala says, what they desire between them and what they desire, we will put a barrier between them. In other words, that their proclaiming iman at that time will be of no avail, and it will not benefit them in the least bit. The next surah is Suratul Fatir. Fatir means creator. Allah Ta'ala, who creates from absolutely nothing, Allah Ta'ala creates. Man makes things from existing raw materials, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything from absolutely nothing. With the order of Allah ta'ala, everything comes into existence, because Allah ta'ala's quality of fatir has been mentioned in the very first verse of the surah. That's why Allah Ta'ala has called this. That's why the surah has been named Surah Fatir. Here too, the fundamental of deen, particularly the aqeedah of Tawheed, has been emphasized in various ways, and also the wrong notions and beliefs of the kuffar are also now refuted in different ways in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also consoled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if they deny your message and falsify you, then you are not the only one. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam from before the people denied their message and falsified them. So you haven't been singled out in this regard. And Allah Ta'ala addressing mankind tells them that the promise of Allah Ta'ala is true. So let not the worldly life put you into any deception, and let not the great deceiver also put you into deception concerning Allah Ta'ala, referring to shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna shaitan lakum aduun," that shaitan is your enemy, therefore regard him as your enemy. And never now fall into the instigations and traps of shaitan, because he will mislead you. He has taken that promise and qasam in the court of Allah Ta'ala that he will mislead mankind till the day of till the end of time. And therefore be aware of this enemy of yours. Allah Ta'ala gives an example that the one whose evil actions have been beautified and sees his evil as good, can he be ever equal and equal to the person who realizes evil to be evil and not regard it to be good? So Allah Ta'ala says, beware of that. Today many things which are now wrong, but the way it has been put forward to us by the enemies of Islam and Shaitan himself, that those things which are actually evil and forbidden, we regard them to be good and permissible. Allah Ta'ala says, we must lead whom we please, and we guide whom we please. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your work is to proclaim the message. Don't put yourself into destruction, grieving and being in sorrow over the fact that they are not accepting your message. Allah Ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also here. Then, throughout the surah, Allah Ta'ala then mentions his great creations and inviting us to ponder over them, through which we can gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence, his oneness, and his great qudrat and knowledge. Allah Ta'ala also reminds mankind, "Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah." All of you are beggars in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what your worldly status of wealth and dignity and status etc. might be, but you cannot live for a single moment without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Allah Ta'ala himself is completely independent, Al-Ghani, and he is Hamid, he is worthy of all praises. And if Allah Ta'ala has to destroy you and take you away, Allah Ta'ala can bring another creation in your place. Don't think so, you are indispensable. You refuse to accept the message of Haq. Previous nations were destroyed, Allah can also destroy you. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And this is nothing difficult on Allah Ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that those who have been burdened with the burden of sin, they will not carry that burden of anybody else. And the one who has been burdened with that burden, if he calls anybody else to relieve him of this burden, that person will not respond to him. وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى, even though who you call is your close relative. On that day, close relationships also will be of no avail. People will run away with one another, thinking that it might be my father or my son or my wife or my close family. If I come near him, perhaps he might ask me for one neki. I'm in need of each one myself. This has been clearly mentioned in the 30th para in Surah Abbas also. So Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that. And then Allah Ta'ala, by way of example, says that Iman and Islam and Kufr can never be the same. As we all know that a blind person and a person who can see are not the same. As darkness and light is not the same. As shade and heat is not the same. As the living and the dead are not the same. So how can you say now that how can Islam and Kufr ever be the same? Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of his great qudrat again, that rain which comes down and plantations which grow in the different forms, different varieties, different colors, different shape, different taste, everything, all is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the same water which irrigates all of them, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then produces and makes grow all these different types of fruits. Allah Ta'ala then says, "Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama." that those who have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have got the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they in the true sense have the khashiyat and the fear and the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person's khashiyat and fear and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be proportionate to the level of recognition which he has achieved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that he will have the khashiyat which will then protect him from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next surah is at the end of that same surah, Allah Ta'ala also tells us that if Allah Ta'ala has to seize you and punish men for the evils which they perpetrate, then nothing will be left on the surface of the earth. No creature will remain survive on the surface of the earth. But Allah Ta'ala, through His tolerance and Allah through His wisdom, Allah says, we defer the punishment from all of you till an appointed time, either in this world or either in the hereafter or either in both. Sometimes punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes in both the dunya and akhirat, and sometimes only in the akhirat. Allah in His wisdom, He defers the punishment. But if Allah had to seize us for our evils, then nothing would have survived the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is on the surface of the earth. In Surah Yasin, this is called the heart of the Quran Majid in the hadith. And the reason why the surah has been called Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Quran, why? Because one very fundamental belief of Iman is mentioned here, and that is the Aqidah of the hereafter. Just as a body cannot be sound without a sound heart, similarly a person's Iman cannot be sound without having this integral belief concerning the hereafter. A person's Iman cannot be completed. Many benefits have been mentioned of Surah Yasin. We should make it a habit of reading it every day. Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, the one who reads it for Allah Ta'ala and for the year after, he will be forgiven. It's also called Mudafi'ah. The surah is that surah which repels and alleviates a person from difficult conditions and hardships. Although Allah Ta'ala, our Aqidah, Allah Ta'ala is the one who now removes all difficulties and hardships, but a person should read Surah Yasin also, and Allah Ta'ala will relieve him from difficulties and hardships. It is also called Qadiyah. Qadiyah means the fulfiller of needs, caretaker of needs. And a person, inshallah, if he reads it with the correct intention, Allah Ta'ala will also now see to all his needs. We should make it a habit of reading it daily. In Surah Yasin, besides the other many things, the mention is made of Qiyamah, particularly where the blowing of the trumpet, which will herald the coming of Qiyamah, and the scenes which will occur there, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then make the announcement, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that, oh sinners, separate yourselves today from those who are the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, this will be the crucial announcement which will determine the eternal abode of those who are destined to go to Jannat and Jahannam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is mentioned that one night he read the single ayat the whole night and cried profusely. And because this is a very crucial announcement, who will be in which group, Allah Ta'ala only knows best. Allah Ta'ala keep us in the group which are the righteous and the pious, and separate us from those who are the evil ones who are destined to go into Jahannam. Besides that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah also mentions many consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, that this Quran Majid, which has been sent to you to warn the people and give them the message of Haqq, but they are refusing to accept the message of Haqq, don't be so grieved. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has destined that these people, it is immaterial whether you warn them or not warn them. We have already decreed that they will not bring Iman. Allah Ta'ala says that we will then, on the day of Qiyamah, revive the dead and also record whatever people had sent forth for the year after, the actions which they did in dunya to send forth in the year after. We will record that, and we will also record their trails, the effects of the actions which they leave behind in this dunya. Included in there is the footsteps we take when walking to the masjid. Every step is also recorded, and we will be rewarded for that. Further on, in the hadith we are also informed that the actions which we do and the effects of it through which either good or bad actions and people get influenced and do accordingly, we will also be taken to task for that. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan, a person who starts a good way, he will get the reward of it, and also those who now make amal on it, without the people who do the action, their reward being diminished or lessened in the least bit. And the same applies for evil. If we initiate an evil, and for that is an independent guna, but all those who now follow in that evil way, we will also be accountable for that, and they will get their sin. But the one who started it off, that person should also now remember that all the sins of the people who acted on that evil will also be recorded as in his book of deeds as evil, and he will be taken to task for that. So we should be very careful that we don't start or initiate an evil where other people get influenced in that, because then even after we die, all the evils and sins of the people will now be recorded in our books also, besides them also being accountable for the evil. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention of an incident that we sent two messengers to a nation, and we reinforced the two with the third, but yet the people refused to accept the message of Haqq. A well-wisher from the community, who up till that point was concealing his iman for fear that people will now harm him, but he then comes to them, and why are you not following these messengers? And he declares his own iman, with the result that he was killed and martyred. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of him here in this verse, that after he was killed, he was entered into Jannah, but then too, he's still now thinking of his nation. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. If only my nation knew why Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me and made me from the honored ones. If only my people can also accept the iman. Allah Ta'ala says, the ulama explain, what a honored person this person was, that in life also he had the welfare of his community, and after death also, which Allah Ta'ala mentions his condition after he had passed away, he was still a well-wisher for his community. Allah Ta'ala says, then we destroyed this nation through a terrible shriek and scream from the earth by Jibreel alayhi salam, and they were completely extinguished, in other words, annihilated. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that incident here. Further, Allah Ta'ala's great Qudrat in His creations are mentioned here. Particularly, Allah Ta'ala mentions, we created everything in pairs, from the things which grow from the ground also, and from yourself also, and from the things which you don't even know. Before advancements in science and technology, people thought that only pairs, referring to male and female, only occurs in animals and in human beings, and in the jinnat. But Allah Ta'ala mentions that everything we created in pairs, not necessarily what we know as male and female, but Allah Ta'ala has made the system in every atom found in everything in this earth. Through science and technology, we understand that every atom got a nucleus, it got an electron, it got a proton, and then that makes that atom existent. And with that, millions of atoms are found in a small particle. But each one is now has got an intricate system of function which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention. Reference of that is made in this verse also. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention in the last ruku of the surah, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that your faculties and your strength and your beauty and whatever we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His power and wisdom, Allah Ta'ala reverses this whole process as a person advances in age. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ, the one who we now advance in age, we then turn him around in creation, and now we see his condition is like that, like the one who is now completely newborn, where he's not in full control, or he's not fully developed as yet. Allah Ta'ala says, this is our Qudrat, which we now let people go through, and if only people can understand. And the surah then ends on the aqidah of the resurrection, that those who now say the decomposed bones, how can Allah Ta'ala now bring life into them? Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala created you in the first place, and don't you see Allah Ta'ala can create fire, even the fresh branches which Allah Ta'ala created, certain type of branches which are found, then can ignite. When it is now ignited, Allah Ta'ala says, we have that power, nothing is beyond our Qudrat. If we decide on anything, we just say kun, become, and it comes into existence. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need any raw materials or any other factors to now create. Allah Ta'ala, with the order of Allah Ta'ala, everything comes into existence. Inshallah, we will continue.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. An Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna rajulan kana yarfa'u sawtahu bil-dhikr, faqala rajul, law anna hadha khafada min sawtihi, فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دعه فإنه أواه. رواه البيهقي. حضرت جابر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک صحابی بلند آواز سے ذکر کر رہے تھے تو کسی نے کہا کیا اچھا ہوتا اگر یہ اپنی آواز کو ذرا پست کر لیتے تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا اس کو اپنی حالت پر رہنے دو, اس کا دل اللہ کی محبت میں ابل رہا ہے. There was a Sahabi who would raise his voice in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst making zikr and reciting the Quran. On seeing him, a Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, if only he would lower his voice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him be, for verily he is Awwah, that is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of this Sahabi was Hazrat Abdullah Dhul Bijadain. He became an orphan in his childhood and thus lived with his uncle. On hearing of his accepting Islam, his uncle expelled him from the house stark naked. He migrated to Medina Munawwara, where he would be found in front of the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to practice dhikr very loudly. Hazrat Ibrahim Taymi rahimahullah narrates that he would raise his voice with tasbih, takbir and the recital of the noble Quran. On seeing him, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once remarked, is this man a hypocrite that he does dhikr so loudly? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, rather he is amongst the awwabin, those who always turn towards Almighty Allah. After he passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following dua for him. O Allah, I am pleased with him. You also be pleased with him. Upon seeing this, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu desired that if only it could have been his corpse in that place.